If you could define happiness for you, what would that be?
It's overcoming yourself at all costs, whatever that takes. To be at the point of your life where you don't care about being judged. You can be in a room of a million people and they all hate you. And you walk in and you go like this. Because not because you're angry at them, because you know yourself. Inside and out. And you know that you've put yourself through hell to be where you're at today. You've walked the walk. You've talked the talk and you've walked the walk. And that's, to me, what it's all about. It's all about putting those boots on the ground and getting after it every day. And once you do that, you have a feeling about yourself that no one can ever take away or even understand. We all have one thing in common. We are here, stuck in the game of life, often subject to the whims of forces beyond our control. But we never train for it. We dedicate ourselves to external goals, whether they are rooted in fitness or school or work, as if they are isolated events, somehow disconnected from the totality of our lives, when everything we do is an opportunity to get better at the game of life itself. My life and my commitment to do what needs to be done, I am a student of life. I carry around a notebook. I keep logs. I study all the upswings and down currents of my days as if the final exam is tomorrow, because we all have an exam tomorrow. Whether we realize it or not, every interaction, each task is a reflection of your mindset, values, and future prospects. It's an opportunity to be the person you've always wanted to be. You don't have to have survived trauma or become a physical beast to train for life. We've all been challenged physically, emotionally, and intellectually, and we've all failed. Don't be shy about digging through your lost archives. No matter how irrelevant those experiences seem now, they count because they were all dry runs for whatever comes next. This awareness that everything we do is merely training for the next episode is like a filter that expands your perception. When you get assigned something at work or school that you don't want to do, step into a conflict you didn't see coming, someone close to you gets sick or dies, or a relationship falters, you will see these challenges as new chapters in life's textbook, which you can study to make sure that the next season of loss won't be such a kick in the knees. Not just for you, but more so for the people around you. We all know that training is required to make the cut in competitive sports. Get into the best schools and compete for the most coveted jobs, because that's what it takes to be prepared.
Most of this generation quits the second they get talked to. You did this wrong, or they get yelled at. It's so easy to be great nowadays, because everybody else is, most people are weak. This is a softened generation. So if you have any mental toughness, any ability, if you have any fraction of self-discipline, the ability to not want to do it, but still do it. People have a hard thing to understand. I hate to run. And what makes me so crazy, it doesn't need more, is people go, well, why do you run if you hate it? What are you talking about? I don't want to take showers and eat either. I hate that too. That's life, man. It wasn't until I changed that mentality that I became somebody. I hated going to school. So guess what? I was dumb as shit. That's what, 1 + 1 = 2. But if you can get through to doing things that you hate to do, on the other side is greatness. That's what people understand. By me running, I am calloused in my mind. I'm not training for a race. I'm training for life. I'm training for the time when I get that 2 o'clock in the morning call that my mom is dead or something happens tragic in life. I don't fall apart. I'm training my mind and my body and my spirit so it's all one, so I can handle what life is gonna throw at me, because the life I've lived, it throws a whole bunch at you. And if you're not physically and mentally prepared for that, you're just gonna crumble and you're good for nobody. You said I can be me. The second you said I can cuss and be me, and cussing, people, I said, man, you cuss all the time, why? Well, I hate to say it, the best way for me to get how I feel across I can't sit here and say, you know what? Yeah, I went through Hell Week and man, it was really hard. No, that takes your damn soul, rips it inside out, and then they say, now we're going to start. It allows me to express where I was at a point of my life. If I don't give you all of me, why the hell am I here? How will you learn from me? People take so much offense to me. You will never learn from people if we always tap dance around the truth. We tap dance around the truth by finding the right words so I don't hurt you because you have thin skin. No, tighten up, people.
The only thing more infectious than a good attitude is a bad one. The more you dwell on the negative, the weaker you feel, and that weakness infects those around you. However, the reverse is also true. I knew that if I could control my attitude and redirect my attention, I'd gain control of the entire situation. I was disappointed, but I wasn't surprised that my knee gave out. Now, it was on me to learn what I could from the setback, adapt, and move forward. It's an unwritten natural law of the universe that you will be tested. You will get smacked in the fucking face. A hurricane will land on your head. It's inevitable for all of us. Yet, we are not formally taught how to handle unexpected adversity. We have sex education, fire drills, active shooter drills, and curriculum on the dangers of alcohol and drugs. But there is no rug just got pulled out under you class. Nobody teaches how to think, act, and move when disappointment, bad news, malfunction, and disaster inevitably strike. All the advice floods in only after we are already lying dazed on the canvas. Which means it's up to you to cultivate your own strategy and have the discipline to practice it. Mine is simple. No matter what life serves me, I say, Roger that. Most people think Roger that simply means order received. However, in the military, some people infuse Roger with a bit more intention and define it as received, order given, expect results. When used that way, it is so much more than an acknowledgement. It's an accelerant. It bypasses the over analytical brain and stimulates action because in some situations, thinking is the enemy. I'm not suggesting that you should follow every order like a robot. After you've been knocked down, it's important to take some time to understand what happened and strategize your way forward. But you also must act. If you stay stalled out, sifting through the wreckage, you may find that you've been swallowed by it. We all love comeback stories because they teach us that setbacks have the power to propel us forward to our greatest successes. But your fate depends on your approach. After an injury or failure, your mind wants to either spin out into overthinking or fall back into numbness and complacency. And it takes practice to short circuit that process. Roger, that is a ticket back to your life, no matter what happens. You may be laid off, run down, flunked out, cut, or dumped. You could be a stressed out, bullied young kid, an overweight veteran with no prospects, or simply handed a pair of crutches and told to sit tight on the sidelines for as long as it takes to heal. The answer is always Roger that. Scream it out loud. Tell them all that you heard what they had to say and that they can expect your very best in return. And don't forget to smile, a smile that reminds them that you are most dangerous when you're cornered. That is how you respond to a setback. It's the most efficient way to deal with adversity and come out clean.
We go. I start talking to my fiance, hey, I'm doing too much. You start now, like I did in Hell Week, like I do all the time. Your 1 second decision. It's that decision when your mind starts to get so amped up. Whenever you can't hear yourself think, you gotta slow down. Whenever you're living off a schedule, every day's a schedule, you have no time for yourself. When you start, and we all know it, I don't have time for this anymore, I don't have time for that anymore. That's when your mind and your body are saying, think about that. I'm neglecting my fiance, I'm neglecting my disciplines of life. I'm neglecting my reading, my learning, my workouts, my diet. And you start neglecting all of that. You neglect one of them. You can neglect all of them a long time. It's going to haunt you. Mm-hmm. When you start seeing that, my God, I haven't eaten right in a long time. I haven't been sleeping right in a long time. It can only be one of those things to take you off. So I'm very aware of my eating, my sleeping, my disciplines of life. And when I start to get too far away from them, it's a hard stop. Because what made me are the self, not just disciplines, the self-disciplines of life. And those are always in front of you, if you have any. They're always in front of you. So that's my hard stop. I'm afraid a lot, but I've learned to flip fear by facing whatever it is I'm scared of head on. When I first started to face my fears, I was tentative as that's normal. And the emotions and discomfort I felt were proof of how potent this process can be. My anxiety stirred and my adrenaline pumped as my mind edged closer to what I was so desperate to avoid. But within all that energy is a mental and emotional growth factor that can lead to self-empowerment. Just as stem cells produce a growth factor that stimulates cellular communication, muscle growth, and wound healing in the body, fear is a seed pod packed with growth factor for the mind. When you deliberately and consistently confront your fear of heights or particular people, places, and situations that unsettle you, those seeds germinate and your confidence grows exponentially. You might still hate jumping off high things or swimming beyond the waves, but your willingness to keep doing it will help you make peace with it. You may even be inspired to try to master it. That's how a kid who was afraid of the water his whole life became a Navy SEAL. Some people take the opposite path and hide from their fears. They are like villagers terrorized by rumors of a dragon to the point that they cannot leave their own property. They cower, and that dragon, who they have never seen themselves, only gains strength and stature in their minds. Because when you hide from whatever it is that freaks you out, that growth factor works against you. It will be your fear that grows exponentially while your possibilities become ever more limited. I had 40 miles of steady altitude gain in front of me. That is a lot of time to contemplate last year's breakdown. And quick cuts of me doubled over, begging for breath did flash in my head, but each step up onto another hump of the dragon's spine confirmed my commitment to the task at hand. Until I became the knight who turned up in that village one quiet evening, sharpened my sword, and slayed the mother dragon.